And then from the Old Testament, the readings from Micah. Micah 4 is entitled The Mountain of the Lord. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief amongst the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The laws will go out from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples, and will settle disputes from strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Every man will sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. And then from the New Testament in John 14. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make him his home with him. He who does not love me, will not obey my teaching. Those words you hear are not my own, they belong to the Father who sent me. And all this I have spoken while I was still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you in all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." These are the words of God. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Phil. And this week, the Lord has just placed on my heart that I needed a bit more peace, and that there's probably other people that need a bit more peace at this moment in time. So my work this morning is looking at Micah 4, verses 1 to 4, and then John 14, 23 to 27. I'm going to start off with Micah 4. But before I do so, I want to ask you something. What do these things have in common? Worry, anxiety, anger, sadness, problem sleeping, overworking, excessive screen time, arguments, and withdrawing from other people. What do all these things have in common? They're all signs of a lack of peace. And I recognize some of those things in my own life. And in there, you've got inner peace, you've got emotional peace, you've got relational peace. And then there's also global peace. Nations go to war, families fracture, and our lives can feel restless at times. Real peace can seem elusive. So today, I want to look at where does peace come from, and I'm going to look at Micah 4 and John 14. Where does peace come from? So before we begin, let's just pray. Eternal God, source of all wisdom and peace, open our hearts to your presence, open our ears to your word, and open our lives to your Holy Spirit, Lord. And teach us again, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So at first, these two passages don't seem to have very much in common. Micah sounds public and global. John sounds personal and spiritual. And yet both of them speak of the same thing, of peace, of the presence of God, and of transformation of the world. The first reading, Micah 4, verses 1 to 4, is a vision of peace given to the prophet Micah. And Micah looked out and he saw a world torn apart by war and injustice. The Assyrian army were threatening the nation. The outlook was grim. And yet when things were darkest, Micah looked up and he looked ahead and he saw a vision of when the Lord's house would be established on earth. When nations would beat their swords into plowshares, when no one would be afraid. What a picture this is, of each person at peace, nations at peace, every family safe under their own vine and fig tree. This is what it looks like under God's reign. And it seems that this picture is out of harmony with our reality of the world. But it's in harmony with how we would want the world to be. Here in Micah is a picture of salvation, as it will be. Here the world is flourishing as God intends it to be. And you might say, is this just a dream? Has Micah just had a dream? But Micah is really clear. This is God Almighty who's spoken. This is a picture of the world made new. This is a picture of peace in the future, eternal kingdom. That's our first reading, Micah. Secondly, I want to look at what John wrote in chapter 14. This is on the night that Jesus died, and Jesus gives a promise that peace begins within us. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone loves me, they will keep my words. And my Father will love them and will come to them and make our home with them." Isn't that an awesome thought? And just think about that moment. God promises to make his home in us. In us. In John 14, verses 2 and 3, Jesus said, "I must go because I'm going to prepare a home for you, a future home." And here in verse 23, the Father and the Son make their present home with us. The living God chooses to dwell in human hearts. And then Jesus goes on, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." Jesus' peace is available to us, freely given. Jesus' peace. And when we lay down our worries and our fears and our burdens at the foot of the cross, we receive the peace from heaven. Amen. But this word for peace is shalom. It means wholeness and well-being, completeness, nothing missing, nothing lacking. This is not the peace the world gives, which is temporary and fragile. True peace is not the absence of trouble. It's the presence of God with his people, with us. Peace comes from knowing that the Lord is always near. You are not alone. God is with you, and you are loved. Thirdly, how do these two passages connect together? If you put them together, you'll see a beautiful truth. Micah shows us what peace will look like in the world. Nations reconciled, fear banished, creation at rest. John shows us where peace begins, in hearts that welcome the Holy Spirit. Micah's vision of peace is realized in Jesus. So what does this mean for us gathered here today? It means this, that the peace that we long for in the world must begin within us. The peace we long for in the world must begin inside us. We are to live as signs of the coming kingdom of God. We are to participate in the transformation of the world. Micah shows us the destination. A world where weapons are turned into tools, where fear is no more, And John gives us the path. Peace begins in our hearts, where the Holy Spirit dwells and the Word of God takes root. And my final point is living out this vision. And I came across an article about the bishop, Dom Dinis Sengeleni. He's from Mozambique, and he helped end a violent civil war in that country. Dom Dinis Sengeleni. Inspired by the prophet Micah, he began a project called Arms into Tools. And he advocated for return of weapons, tools of death, and exchanged them for tools for life. And a village turned over all of their weapons for a tractor and for sewing machines and for building materials. And in a decade, 1 million weapons were handed in and exchanged for tools. And the weapons were made into bed frames and chairs and tables and works of art. They made a tree of life out of AK-47s. And these pistols and rocket-propelled grenade launchers are now symbols of peace in Mozambique. Praise God. So Micah's vision is not just for the future, it's for the present. The church is to foreshadow God's kingdom now. Micah gives us the vision, a community of peace which reflects the kingdom of God on earth. John gives us the source, the indwelling Holy Spirit, the presence of God inside us. And that when the church hold together the vision of God from Micah and the source from God in John, it becomes a place where the word of God is lived out, where peace is practiced, where fear and rejection are replaced by belonging and acceptance. It becomes a place where anyone from any background can come and learn about God's ways. And I'm really proud that here at Sandy, Jono started a Bible study. And that's what's happening here in Sandy. People who've just come to the Lord, coming along together, learning about the Word of God. Some people there haven't yet met God, but they're seeking. The Father is leading them to Jesus. Praise God. That's what a Spirit-filled community looks like. When God's presence is real and it's experienced, when God's peace reigns in this place, when God's love is made visible. And that's what I'm seeing here at Sandy, the startings of this. The people coming to the Bible study have been given a Bible out. Harry, Jono, Paul, Graham, Rachel, more and more people are giving out Bibles here in Sandy. We've now given 68 Bibles away. We'll get more if we need to. We hope to get more. We invite anybody that wants a Bible to get in a Bible and then an invitation to come and join with us and to read the Word together. We're on a journey to Jesus. Come, join us. That's where we're heading. Come with us. It's God's mission. We get an invitation to join Him on His mission. The mission is that these signs go through to reality. The signs of the kingdom become a reality. We are to live in such a way as that vision for the future becomes real now in this place at this time. And the goal is to transform not just this church, but the town. To transform the town for God's glory. Praise God. So in conclusion, we started off by asking, where does peace come from? And the answers come from Micah 4 and John 14, and it says this: peace is God's presence within us, overflowing into God's peace among us. Peace is God's presence in us that overflows God's peace among us. So I want you to ask yourself a question. This is the question. Lord, what do I need to lay down this morning to receive your peace? What do I need to lay down this morning to receive your peace? Is it fear? Is it worry? Is it unforgiveness? Is it that need for control or pride? What do I need to lay down, Lord, to receive your peace? And I pray that prayer, the Lord says, control. Lay down control. Because it blocks our ability to experience God's peace. And letting go is an act of trust. We trust in Him. And if we let go, our hearts are open to experiencing God's peace. What do we need to let go to receive God's peace? And secondly, how can I be a vessel of peace? What does a vessel of peace mean? It means that you are demonstrating Jesus' character, His humility, His compassion, practicing forgiveness, caring for anyone who's hurting, speaking words of encouragement, serving selflessly, being part of a united community who are prayerfully dependent on the Holy Spirit of God. How can I be a vessel of peace? Who needs a bit more peace? Who do I know this week who needs some peace? Because the truth is, all of us, everybody, needs a little more peace. Amen? Mm-hmm. Only Christ can bring peace. And when He returns, only Christ can bring peace to this world. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for making Your home with us. Lord, help us to give You all of our hearts, to trade our worries, our fears, our anger, our sadness for peace. Lord Jesus, fill us with Your perfect peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding, a peace from heaven, Lord. Teach us Your ways, Lord. Teach us to love as You've loved us. And Holy Spirit, flood us with Your presence, that we can live as people of peace, and that Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And all the saints say, Amen. Amen. And as I was writing that, I felt the Lord say, this is your vision statement, this is your mission statement, this is sounding what I want you to do here. So join with me and let's make this vision a reality here at Sandy. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.